So it is January 22nd, 2020. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you please all rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence for our servicemen and women? Thank you. Okay. First item is presentation of minutes. Minutes for the regular and executive session meetings of December 18th, 2019. Has anyone got any comments, discussion, or motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting for December 18th, 2019.
And executive.
And executive.
Regular and executive, seconded by Beth Kohler. Roll call.
Yes.
The minutes for the reorganization meetings are being tabled for final preparation. With that, we would open to public comment limited to agenda items only. Reminder, the meeting is recorded to be put on the website promptly. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I make a motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call. Yep.
Yes. Was there a second? I didn't hear the second.
Yep, there was a second.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, yes.
Yes. Yes. Meeting's now open to public comment, limited to agenda items only. Seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. You'll notice ordinance number 2020-02, salaries, is on the agenda for introduction. After introducing this last meeting at the reorg, we discovered some technicalities that needed to be adjusted, and that was done prior to publication of that ordinance. So the first item before us would be a motion to rescind the motion of introduction from the January 7th, 2020 meeting. Would there be that motion?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
And roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, we then have before us a revised salary ordinance, ordinance 2020-02. Public hearing for this would be February 5th, 2020. Any discussion been prepared by the CFO, or is there a motion to introduce ordinance 2020-02.
I'll make a motion to introduce ordinance 2020-2, salaries, introduction, first reading, public hearing to be held February 5th, 2020.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Now, resolution 22-2020, professional service contract for Martin Allen of DeFrancesco Bateman Kunstman to be our tax appeal attorney for the year 2020. Any discussion?
I have a question on that one.
Yep.
If you go down to the 1, 2, 3, 4th, whereas, should that be the 2020 municipal budget instead of 2019?
Yes, the same time probably is 2020.
Good catch, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other comments? I don't think there was a motion yet. Motion as amended.
I'll make a motion to approve as amended resolution 22-2020.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Then resolution 23-2020, redemption of tax sale certificate related to block 11, lot 45, authorizing the mayor, treasurer, and clerk to sign a check in the amount of $182.79. Any discussion or motion?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 23-2020.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And Resolution 24-2020, reappointing the local registrar of vital statistics. Here, therefore, be it resolved that Karen J. Sandors be reappointed as registrar with her term expiring December 31st, 2022, and that a certified copy of this resolution be sent to the New Jersey State Office of Vital Statistics and Registry to be kept on file for 30 years. Any discussion or motion?
Make a motion to approve Resolution 24-2020.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Under old business, we have an update on the tax collector position. We will table that into executive session. And then we have the item of DPW employee hires. We will also table that into executive session. Potential action on hiring DPW employees would be after executive session. We know it's not on the agenda, but we normally go to our administrator update.
Yeah, on the policy and procedure manual, I should hopefully have it done by the end of February. I'm going to go over it with the township attorney, Matt Lyons, prior to submitting it to the township committee. We have tabled the tax collector position, but I would like to add that whoever we choose, I think that we need to work in conjunction with that tax collector to look into online tax payments. I think that would benefit the town and especially our residents as well. Also, I have IT updates. As per our IT specialist, we must devise a plan to upgrade all our Windows 7 PCs to Windows 10 because Microsoft announced some time ago that the end of the support for Windows 7. According to our IT technician, there are 7 PCs in the township here that are still have Windows 7. The upgrade is free of licensing fees. The upgrade takes several hours per computer to complete. It takes about an hour of his time to monitor the process. So I think it's very important that we update to Microsoft 10 because it's also email integration as well. Office 365, which is somebody's drumming, but that's you. So, you know, I'm going to make that recommendation. I'll work with Karen as well because there's a lot of other things that we have to deal with Microsoft Office 10, which is the statewide voter registration system. In order for us to be able to, for the clerk to be able to use it, we have to be on Microsoft Office 10.
Well, would you be talking to the police chief, too, about?
I'll speak to all the departments with the computers as well. And
Jamie, do I need to, with my personal computer, get upgraded to, I think I have XP right now, get 10? Because will it affect the emails when you're working on your personal computer?
I will ask. I don't think it does because I have it. I have Microsoft 10 and Tewksbury, and when I'm in Tewksbury and I need to look at emails, it doesn't affect anything from Lebanon when I go to look at emails sometimes. So, but I'll find that out for you.
Okay.
And then if there are costs, because we do have to upgrade some of our other hardware systems as well. So I'm going to get that from our IT technician to see what the cost would be on that as well. The position for Public Works, we're going to go to executive session on that as well. So that's my report for today.
Thank you.
One
other old business from anyone? We'll go on to new business. We were going to have the Police Chief Rottenberg here tonight for his requests. Last minute, he wasn't able to be here, so we'll table those two items to the next meeting, which takes us to the New Jersey Water Supply Authority hazardous tree removal and open space properties. I'll turn that over to Mark as liaison.
I think this started a couple months ago when I brought it up, and then basically that they had done Julie Shelley is the property and permanent administrator for New Jersey Water Supply Authority. They did a survey of what we call the Nicholson and the
Fisher.
No.
Chaff.
Properties, and they will share in the cost of 50% for removal of trees that are dangerous or hazardous. So our incurred cost would be $3,325 to assist with the removal of the trees that are encroaching and being hazardous outside of, you know, just falling in the middle of the woods.
And I believe that can be taken out of our open space money as maintenance.
As far as I understand it, it's part of open space, so it shouldn't affect any of the budget sides of things.
My question with this was just, do we have an assessment of down the road any of other ones that we're going to have to do this year, and is it all going to come out of open space?
Well, this was the two properties.
For planning purposes.
Well, we only did, they only surveyed the two properties that they're associated with. So it's there could be certainly other properties, you know, that are strictly our properties, but this is just these two properties.
Okay.
But anything's associated with open space, we realistically should be able to use that money for maintenance, which this falls under.
Who would be evaluating these properties and choosing?
Well, this is step one for these, so we'll have to look.
Forestry in there or something?
Yeah. U.S. Athletic Fields is the company, the forester, that they've already surveyed and know which trees.
They know which trees already. That's why they came up with the price, the value.
Because they're already out there.
Yeah, they already were out there and looked at it. So I don't know if this is approving
the
motion. Approve the 50% cost, which is the $3,325 to assist in the removal of those costs for the removal of those trees. So I would make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And we have two items from the historians, which I'll turn over to Tom McKee as liaison to the historians.
Okay. The first one we have here is that the historians had read through two meetings of their bylaws, and I believe that it passed with a majority decision, and that it gives a parliamentary usage for their group, which is effectively promoting a majority rule. So I think the bylaws here have addressed everything that they were looking for, and if there's any questions, you can ask me about the bylaws. Pretty much you have everything in front of you. If you've read it, it's pretty self-explanatory.
What changes were there?
They didn't exist.
I think. Yeah, the short story. I need some help on the changes, so Catherine Koch, please, if you would.
The original title of it was wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just so it gets on the mic. Otherwise, it'll be in the distance as you talk.
Catherine Koch, Vice Chair of the Historians. The original version that we had was ancient. And it predated the township committee ever approving bylaws, so really they didn't hold up. They were titled with an ink after our
very
title,
historic.
Which were not an ink anymore. And then it had a lot of stuff and fluff in it that just wasn't pertinent anymore. So we streamlined it. There was a committee that worked on it first, and then it was brought to the whole historians committee. Paired it way down so that it's usable but simple to use.
Thank you, Catherine, for the help. Any questions other than that? So they're seeking that our blessing on this, so we would need a motion on this, adopting the historian's bylaws and approved by the township committee.
Did you make that motion? Or?
I will make that motion. I was hoping someone else would make it, but I'll so moved.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 And I'll continue on with this next one, which is the Township Historians. I know it's before you. I hope you all had a chance to look at it. Over a course of some time, a historical artifact, which was a bobsled school bus, which was used for other things, has found its way to be donated to the township through Squires Point to the historians, and they've had it refurbished, and it's a pretty amazing piece of artifacts of how life once was in Lebanon Township. And they didn't have snow days back then. You know, they just bobsledded to school, you know. So very interesting, and they've had an individual, very talented guy, Point Mountain Construction, actually do some renovations on it. And the discussion went on that if we do accept this sled, where are we going to keep it? So with that, the decision was made unanimously by the historians that a shed would be something worthwhile that could also house other historical artifacts. So again, Squire's Point has historians have agreed to donate the shed. And I think what the historians are looking for is for us to accept these donations, the shed being placed on the museum grounds, which would be off to the left of the museum, if you know where the museum is and have seen it, in the back, not affecting the septic or anything like that. And it would be actually a site built, I believe, by an Amish company, Lancaster Barns, I believe. They were thinking about going different ways, like prefabbing it and having it slid off a trailer, but I think it's more efficient if we actually have it engineered in a factory, but it's knocked down and comes to our site and they erect it on our site. Gives us more advantages. So I think there's a copy of the architectural plans there, and I think they're asking us for to accept these donations and have the building placed on the museum grounds. So if there's any questions, you can ask me. Hopefully I can answer them.
Well,
yeah, who is the Squire's Point historians that are actually donating the shed?
Yes.
I'm not worried about the sleigh. I'm worried about the shed.
Squire's Point is donating the shed, has agreed to donate the shed, which you have a picture of in your package. So what they're asking for is, you know, the blessing of the township to allow this sled and shed to be placed on museum grounds.
Okay, well, I've got the two concerns I have is the Squire's Point historians are donating a shed, but when I pull a 990 EZ on them, I don't see enough money in there to pay for that shed. So I'm trying to, you know, where is it coming from?
Well,
the IRS document.
I believe that the Squire's Point historians might have had a donation to them, which is taking care of this individual shed. It's a private donation of sorts, let's say, and maybe it wouldn't reflect in the report you're looking at the Squire's Point, Inc. But the donations are there.
Are you sure of that?
I'm pretty sure that the building is going to be paid for. And the township's not going to be on the hook for that, if that's what your concern is.
Well, my concerns are two. It's transparency and the fact that I do see in here that we're exempt from the permitting process. But it's 40 feet long, and I just think that when you look, the fire department came before the zoning board to put their sign up. The park came before the zoning. And I'm wondering why, like if residents have to jump through hoops for anything bigger than a 10-by-10 shed, why don't we have to go through that process? So it's two things. It's transparency. When I don't see the donation in there, I never saw the bathroom donation in there as far as revenue. So I'm not an IRS expert, but I'm looking even to Matt to provide any information when it comes to 501c3s of the township. And then the third thing is, you remember the Whiteman gazebo? And then when that fell apart, like how is that going to work with maintenance? Where is the money going to come from for the maintenance?
Well, I think there again, it would probably fall under buildings and grounds. It is, you know, a historical artifact for the benefit of the residents. I don't think that I'm as alarmed as you over this. I think that the benefit is there for these residents. I don't see the issue with the 40-foot length by 12-foot. It's not an extremely large shed, and it certainly has the room to fit. If you've read the report, Warren has looked at the site and has found out that deemed it, you know, possible to actually happen there with a little bit of gravel put down to build this on. So I'm not seeing what you're seeing, but I respect your opinion.
Once again, what I'm seeing is that citizenry has to jump through hoops to have things like this done, and I think we should follow along that same route. Again, the fire department's done it, parks has done it. It's a really big shed.
Well, I mean, hey, Bev, it's Matt. I mean, statutorily, we're not required to. I'm not exactly sure what you mean by jump through hoops. What do you want us to do to ensure like the footings or the
I don't know,
are there hookups? I don't know much about this. So.
No, it's a cold storage shed that really is not in the ground on footings. It's kind of built on gravel as a shed with sliding doors that are lockable and closable, sheds the roof. It's going to be like maintenance material that's free of maintenance to the best ability you can. There's nothing that's totally free of maintenance. I don't know. I think
to address that concern, I think it's clear if we're talking about this being donated, which means we're accepting it, which means we own it, and it's on our property,
correct,
that the maintenance obviously falls on us.
It will fall on us, I think.
Ben, do you mean like a zoning concern is what you're alluding to?
Well, why would there be a zoning concern? We're exempt. I don't get that.
Right, I understand that, but that's what I'm thinking. She's thinking like setback lines or something. Did you have any more to add to that, Beverly?
No, I'm good. Okay. If Matt is okay with it, then I'm fine with it, too. I just think it sends a bad... I'm not saying we shouldn't do this. I'm not getting in the way of progress, but I think it would be nice to get a permit that you're having a shed that's over 10 by 10, because anybody else who comes in to do that on their property has to have a permit. Okay. Even though there's no footing, but from what I understand, anything you put on the property, a shed that's over 10 by 10... needs to have a permit. So I don't know what's really involved. I've never really done that on my property, so, but I know that other people have.
I thought we still get the permit. We just don't pay for it.
People are going to ride by. Who knows?
You can go get a courtesy with the whatever board you go to.
Because we got the permits when we built the bathroom. Mm-hmm. We still get the permits. We just don't pay for them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If there's going to be inspections, it's not a question of exemption, it's a question of not paying the fee. We'd be paying it to ourselves.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's exempt from payment. It's not.
My opinion is it aesthetically going to fit down there next to the museum?
Well, it's going to get rid of all that junk that's there at the point. You know, where that. Right. That's.
Well, there's an old lean-to down there now, and there's a couple of outhouses there. And there is an old antique stove that's a wood coal burner that would be nice to kind of store in there. You know, it has some real historical value to the township. I kind of think that this is, to me, is a no-brainer that we...
What if we located it in the park, like between the concession stand area and where the stage is going to be?
Well, this is the store.
And then you could have something open when there's an event going on.
No,
some
the point is the store of the sled.
Yeah. Right, but other stuff, too, I guess, is the
sled,
different size, right?
Yeah.
But the sled's big.
You could have a display actually right there set up.
No, it's supposed to be, you know, the tent, I think, is for the historians and the point of them to have storage there and have
plaque on there or whatever.
Yeah. It'd be useless in the park.
Mayor, maybe Maria Nacarado can offer us some information if she would come up here, please.
Maria Nacarado must be hungry for Ruth. Just to add something to what you were saying, Brian, about what we'd like to do is that shed is going to take the place of a number of things that are currently back there. There's a fenced-in garden area that's falling down. There's a small shack that's in disrepair. There are two outhouses, one of which will be donated to or given to the Califon Historical Society. So you've got this hodgepodge of things back there, and the shed is going to very nicely replace that hodgepodge of things. The other thing is that we've designed the shed to sort of mirror the carriage shed that's both at the Changewater Church down the road and the Spruce Run Church, so it'll have a really nice look to it that we feel will blend in with, you know.
I was just thinking bigger, like a little satellite museum spot there when there's some event going on. It could be open to the public and, you know, some pictures and whatever.
The idea is that, you know, and also with the size of the shed, is that in time we anticipate, you know, acquiring more artifacts, and that we would have the space in that shed to house those things.
Yeah, I get it. I was just thinking bigger.
I like it. Any other questions or
thoughts? No.
Any other questions, concerns? I'll turn it back to the mayor. Well, do we have a motion to accept these donations?
I'll make that motion.
A second.
Roll call.
Abstain?
Yes.
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 And I'll abstain. Okay. Next on the agenda is scheduling budget meetings, as we typically have done in past years. Talking to the CFO, he would be ready by the first Thursday in March, March 5th, for meetings starting at 6 p.m., as though we've normally done it. I think it worked out last year. We had to miss one for a snowstorm, so I think if we block out the four Thursdays in March, so March 5th, 12th, 19th, 26th, we'll use as many as we need and then not use them if we finish early.
Works for me.
Works, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it works for me. I would just leave that 26 on there. If we have to cancel it, just cancel it.
So is there a motion to set those four special meeting dates starting at 6 p.m. in March, the four Thursdays?
I'll make that motion. Second, then.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, junkyard application for bird salvage. Clerk tells us that the documents have been duly and completely filled out. Fees have been paid. Any discussion, or would there be a motion to approve a junkyard application for bird salvage?
I'll make the motion to approve the junkyard application for bird salvage.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And another junkyard application for Milkowski & Sons, LLC. Again, the clerk tells us that the application has been filled out, fee has been paid. Any discussion?
I'll also make the motion to approve the junkyard application for Milkowski & Sons.
Second.
Roll call. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And that takes us to presentation of the vouchers.
Okay, I have one for Jesco for the backhoe, $110,409.76. And as you know, this one will be offset by the credit after we finish the scrapping of our current 1994 backhoe, which I believe is at Tri-County Recycling in Long Valley right now, being cut in half. So as soon as Warren has the pictures and he sends in the proof, then the credit will come in for the $34,000. We also have one for Martin Salt, the salt for $9,188.15. We have one for the Township of Randolph for the Morris County Co-op fee of $1,100. We have one for Homestead Lawn and Landscape for the snow and ice control over at Winding Brook Lane and Pine Ridge Road for December, and that fee is $6,920. And Allied Trucking, we have one for diesel for $2,269.95. And we have one for fuel oil for $1,569.70. We have one for Reed Systems for some pumps and motors and clutches and belts for $1,273.23, and that's it for me.
Okay, I'll confirm that. And additionally, we have one here for bathroom cleaning. For the park, which is for 46 cleanings, $55 for $2,530. We have one for from Bear Reese Engineering, Mechanics Bay Floor Services Rendered for $1,440. We have one for A-Tech Concrete Company Incorporated for the concrete slab at the DPW Garage, the amount of $77,000 even. And that's all.
I've got New Jersey Health Benefit Plan premium for January 2020 in the amount of $29,406.09. Ardito and Company, the auditor, first one-fourth of the annual audit fee, $7,681. Cornerstone Print and Imaging for the winter newsletter in the amount of $2,511.34. Edmunds GovTech, which is our financial account software system for the year, system maintenance, $3,400.10. General Code Publishers for various updates in 2019, $1,195, and a payment for payment against our open space trust debt in the amount of $3,268.70, and another that was for a 2003 loan for a 2004 loan to the New Jersey Infrastructure Bank in the amount of $3,003.12.
I have one for Animal Control Services for Laura Rohrig for December and January, $1,084. I have one Griffith Allet Trucking gasoline for the police department, $1,021.47. Hackettstown Firearm and Storage for ammunition, $1,885.80. Performance Tire for Firestone and Goodyear Tires, $1,053.44. That's it.
I have one here for Gebhardt and Kiefer for general services rendered for 2019 December for $2,084. I also have one here for Finch Fuel Oil Company for the squad building in Station 2 for fuel, $2,387.30.
So the total voucher list comes to $304,693.11. Is there a motion to approve the voucher list?
Make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. A couple items of correspondence. The tax collector's report for the month of December. As we normally do, we read this out. So taxes collected for the year 2019 in December were $246,838.88. Taxes prepaid for the year 2020, $70,693.76. Interest collected of $8,221.77. Trailer court fees of $2,220. A return check fee of $20. And in lieu of taxes, $404.20 for total receipts of $328,398.61. And then, even more entertaining, we have the Tax Collector's 2019 Annual Report. I don't think I'll read all those numbers, but the highlights would be total amount collected in 2019 of $22,051,381.68. Then we have the Animal Control Officer's Report for December. Anything you would highlight?
No, I mean, a number of the animals that were brought into her, looks like four of them were adopted out that were never collected by whoever their owners were. So, but other than that, just typical calls.
Okay. Recycling Coordinator Memo. Do you want to highlight anything on that?
Just that, you know, we seem to keep... It's amazing how much electronics just keeps showing up every year. I'm not sure if that's good or bad in regards to our society, but...
You can see the old TVs getting obsolete. We collected 30,425 pounds of old
CRTs.
TVs. 1,000 pounds of plasma and LCD TVs. 1,400 pounds of projection TVs, that's probably one. So total amount collected on September 21st, 2019 of 52,755 pounds. That's 26.38 tons of electronic recycling. And that gets reflected in our 2019 Recycling Tonnage Grant Report. Next, we've got the curator memo for upcoming events at the museum.
Yeah, I think the paper noted this, that they're having a celebration of the centennial of women's suffrage on February 1st from 1 to 3 is the opening reception, and it goes through the whole month. I think it might even extend over 2 months. And but I would like to add something. It is 100 years, but if you look back, because, you know, I had to look it up now, it actually started in, like, 1848, I think. And so there was a long period of time striving to get their rights before it was really adopted as a constitutional amendment. So when you think of that, about that, it's more than 100 years. You know, it's pretty incredible. So that's February 1st from 1 to 3. Need some volunteers for that day, if we could, too. And then Thursday, February 20th, and Saturday, February 22nd, they're going to have another event, which is a suffragist sash making. I'm not really, if someone could help me with that, I'd be willing to listen. So anyways, all good stuff. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Final correspondence comes from the president of the Voorhees High School Booster Club, notifying us that on March 7th, they're having a joint fundraiser with the Dreams for Kids Foundation, which is founded by a former NFL player. Apparently, he brings in different active and retired professional athletes, and they have a basketball game. The proceeds are also split with that organization and the Voorhees High School Baseball Booster Club. So that's on March 7th. Everyone is encouraged to participate.
Did they say where the dinner was going to be? Or I can't see it in here anywhere as I'm reading it.
I don't know the details of where the dinner is. There's a VIP dinner for $40. You can attend the game for $10, but I don't know the details of where that is. Okay. With that, we would then be ready to open to public comment for any topic anyone would like to make a comment on. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if any member of the public.
Hi, Laramie Silber, 106 West Kanatkong River Road. I think most of you are aware of the proposed development in Hampton now at the Haberman site on Valley Road. And hopefully it won't go through because there's some real environmental problems and the DEP is holding hearings. But if it does, I wanted to know what our responsibility might be as far as our school sharing. That we've been doing with Hampton, the 333 units could be a lot of children that we might have to find seats and teachers for. So I was looking for a little more information from you guys on that.
Of course, that's a school board matter. Nothing's made it over to us yet that I'm aware of, so I don't think we have any update on that.
Could we be responsible for finding seats for all of those children in our schools, or...
I hesitate to even give my understanding of it because it's a pure school board question.
Yeah, I mean, what I could do is when I go to the next school board meeting, I could ask and try to get some information to see how they plan to handle that because I know they have lotteries and everything, so there is a limited amount that they can take in, but I'd rather hear it from them and then I can communicate it back.
I would appreciate that because I know our class sizes have been getting down to where we could almost eliminate a class per grade level. And certainly if that would tip us over, that would be a huge concern for the township. And also, I think the township has an interest in the traffic that would be coming much down through our side of 31, cutting due to rush hour and everything. So I wanted to make sure you're all aware of that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment?
Hello, Jean Lang, 106 Muskanetkong River Road. I have one old issue which I had brought up with the professional property appraisers, and I did receive a letter from them after I had spoken with you, and it did finally give me the comp properties. One of the properties was 10 miles away in the middle of nice, pristine Kenlockwood Gorge. And I live on a busy road near Route 31. Our property values are already going down because of the busyness of Route 31. And with this new development of the 333 houses, I'm really concerned that a lot of the traffic is going to go down our road and reduce property values even more. So although I know that's professional property appraisers, I'm not sure how you could comp my house where it is with one 10 miles away in the middle of the pristine gorge. And now I received a new assessed evaluation, but this was all I got, one page. So I know that you might not run into this for another 20 years, But wouldn't it make more sense to just send everybody? I mean, I don't know how many thousands of dollars we're paying them, but wouldn't it make more sense just to send everybody the comped properties, like in the mail when they first got their letter? Like, I understand that the reason we didn't get them in any timely manner to actually do anything about it was because, I guess, by state law, for a reason that I can't figure out, you can't send it out till after the election. But at least if all the information were sent to the property owner, they could be empowered to do something instead of having to try to make an appointment up here, go see the person, not really be satisfied, perhaps. Certainly a lot of people I spoke to had that feeling. And another thing, which is that when they take into account the properties that they're comping with, those are sold properties, which means that they have a new septic. And I spoke to several people who said they tried to tell the fellow, look, my septic would be $35,000 to put in, and that no, there was not anything made of that would reduce the value, because to get a house ready for sale, I mean, I appreciate that they picked various houses to comp with, but how do you know how much money that person put in order to get that house to sell? So, and then another topic. We had about a month ago, a raccoon who was, I wasn't quite sure that he had rabies, but he was scratching at the back door and running around and making a lot of noise. And so I called whoever I was supposed to call, I guess the police and animal control. And they said basically they said, we know there's rabies in all the raccoon population, so we don't test. And did any of your cats or humans come in contact, then we would. Then we found it dead on the property. I called back again. I tried every number I could think of, the wildlife management at Spruce Run. The best I could get from the county health department was that if I had to find a vet to cut off its head and prepare it. I volunteered to get out the axe and do it and take it down there, but they didn't. They said I had to go to a vet to do it. Couldn't find a vet who did it, and God knows how much that would be. Here's a dead raccoon, could you please? But anyway, outside of the humor in that, I have now, there's right down the street from me, there's sort of a spring, and it has a little water thing that goes out to the river. And the other week, I saw two dead raccoons in it. And just the other day, I was like sweeping off the deck, and I was like, oh, what is that? Did somebody pull some rug or something under the deck? No, it was another dead raccoon. So now that's four. So, I don't know if this is considered a health emergency, but I think it is. So, I don't know what to do about that, but...
We'll report that and see.
Is there somebody I could ask to take the two dead raccoons out of the water that's going right into the river? Like, who would do that?
If it's on private property or public property?
Yeah.
On private property, I don't think...
Well, I guess everything is...
Whoever owns it.
If it's private property, the owner of the property would have to remove it.
Unless it's a health hazard?
Right, then you would...
We'll have to look into that.
Okay.
The rules are... Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, we will be going into executive session for a couple of topics. That would be Resolution 25-2020. The items would be, number one, a discussion of the tax collector update as discussed, DPW hiring with potential action on that matter, an item regarding the statutory and supervisory personnel, and an open space opportunity. Is there a motion for executive session, Resolution 25, 2020?
Make a motion to go into executive